Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program's about the evolution of our consciousness. And one of my favorite guests on this program, on my television show and this radio show, is Lorna Byrne. And she, for people who don't know her, is a true mystic, a true visionary, someone who sees between the dimensions. She'll be coming to New York November 23rd at the Open Center, joining some other distinguished guests, Eben Alexander and Anita Mujani. Her latest book is A Message of Hope from the Angels. Hi, Lorna. How are you?
Hi, Alan. My pleasure to be talking with you.
Yes, I just always enjoy spending time with you because it feels like you are a bridge between the worlds. Do you find that's how you live in this world?
I don't think so. You have to remember everything is normal and natural for myself. You know, I see the angels every day. If I go out on the street, I see them as physically as I would see the people. So it has been like that since, you know, I was an infant. So I know no different.
Right. So it's normal for you. Life is normal for you. You're just doing your thing, which is...
Yeah.
I get it. How has things been for you since you've sort of become world known for being an angel communicator? Has life changed in a way?
Well, it has changed partly, you know, that I'm traveling the world, you know, I'm doing all of that. And as you mentioned there, I'm heading back to the States on the 17th. And you know, lots and lots of things are happening in that way. You know, I have even written another book, a fourth book, which is not out yet.
Oh, what's that called?
Oh, I am not allowed to give the name of it yet.
Okay.
But the one I have out at the moment is A Message of Hope from the Angels. And I suppose since I have written that as well, you know, right across Europe and in America, I'm just hearing from so many people saying that, you know, again, that there's things in that that has helped them to understand, you know, themselves even more, and that they have a soul and their guardian angel, you know, and that's what life is really about. I suppose in one way, the only way it has changed for me, again, I haven't changed. I'm still me. I suppose is not being penniless. You know, having, you know, money to go out and buy food and clothes when they're needed and things like that, where I wouldn't have had that before. So I suppose the material things, you know, things have changed, but yet I'm not a person into material things.
But well, it's nice to have food and clothes. It's okay to have that.
It is indeed.
You deserve that because you're doing some amazing work. I mean, we'll talk about your new book, but I do want to talk about, you know, I was surprised to see you on this panel with Anita Mujani, who I've interviewed, who wrote an amazing book, Dying to Be Me, about her near-death experience, really her death experience and coming back, as well as Eben Alexander, whose best-selling book, Proof of Heaven, is also talking about near-death. So, I mean, I knew you as a, you know, this person who saw the guardian angels, but I didn't quite get your connection with these near-death experiencers. Can you talk about that connection?
Well, I know I will be talking about the two I've had, and I suppose, you know, I still do have lots of secrets that I don't tell. So even though I have met yourself a few times and all of that, I never told you that. You know, maybe back
I thought we were good friends.
We are, but so much goes on in my life. There just be so much happening that,
I know.
And even before all of this happened as well, you know, that I haven't got around to telling, you know, everything. And
so
it is kind of a long story.
You had near-death experiences, you're saying. You did have some.
Yeah, you know, I suppose to skip a lot of it, you know, before I went in for major surgery about 8 or 10 years ago, I said to my son, because the angels had said I was to say it to my family, that, you know, I would be fine, but they were to keep a close watch on me. You know, and any time I would ever say anything like that to my eldest son, Christopher, he knows me well, so he knew exactly what to do. So when I did go in for the surgery, it was a 5 or 6 hour surgery, you know, and when I came back out of the theater, he was standing outside the door, and he was all of the time, you know, asking the nurses, was I fine? Was I okay? You know, he was pestering them until he got to the stage where they were kind of nearly given out to him. But he told me that on the last time he pestered them, the nurse said, oh, she's fine. And the next minute the alarms went off. So this is how I had, you know, how I died. I actually died and was gone for 10 minutes. And, you know, heaven is real. I have been there many times, but this was just one particular way. And when you go to heaven, all as I can say to you is the only way I could describe it, it's like that stairway. It's like some people call it a tunnel, you know, it twists, it spirals in that way, and it's just covered in angels. But one of the beautiful things, now I'm skipping loads, but in heaven, just there and just watching all the souls of all the people who, and men, women and children, all ages, who had just died, and they were there in heaven with their guardian angels. And how can I describe this? Each soul was more beautiful than the guardian angel itself by a billion times. But yet the souls held on to, and I think it was because they had just died. You know what I mean? They had just got there. A lot of their human appearance, but I could watch it changing and becoming more and more perfect. You know, until the soul came. How can I call it? It was like purer and clearer within the human image of the person. But one of the most beautiful things was just seeing, you know, it was the only human words I can find is like patience, you know, like love and gentleness and care, and the soul moving along with the angel ever so slowly. There was no rush or anything like that, because every soul and every guardian angel knew exactly where they were. And sometimes I saw, you know, an angel holding the hand of a soul, you know, because the soul was given such a human appearance as well. And sometimes I would see the guardian angel with its arm around the soul as well. But one of the things that I suppose to me humanly was an expression of more love and all of that was some guardian angels were actually, and it was just so beautiful to see, carrying the soul, you know, that they had just brought to heaven in their arms as if it was a baby. You know what I mean? In that way. And that was very, very beautiful to see. But there's such love and peace. All as I can tell you is when you die, you have nothing to fear.
Why did you come back, though? Why do you think you didn't stay?
I had no choice. God sent me back.
But the feeling there was of beauty and peace and love. Is that that's what you're saying?
Yeah, and those words, you know, don't even describe it. That peace is so overwhelming. It's heaven is like as if you're in God. You know, maybe that's another way to describe it. It's overwhelming. You don't want to come back. And I know everybody to say, you know, oh, when I die, I would want to come back for those I love and all that kind of thing. But you actually don't, you know.
So you said there was two times that you had this experience?
On two occasions, I actually died.
And what was the other one?
And the other one was... it was a number of years ago when my husband was still alive, Joe, and I was pregnant, and the angels had told me, Angel Michael and Hostess had told me that, you know, my baby wasn't going to stay. And I remember getting real cross about that, saying, why did God have to let me know this? You know, because it's something a mother doesn't really want to know, because you're so delighted that you're pregnant, and, well, most of the time. But my baby died, and I'd done the complete opposite to what I was told I was to do. I was to let my baby go when it died, but I didn't. I died with my baby at the same time, and my soul went with my baby. My soul actually carried my baby's soul as well. And even though my baby, you know, its guardian angel was holding on onto the soul of my baby as well, but I was carrying it. And, you know, again, I was going up that spiral staircase. You know, again, I was in heaven, and it was just crowded with angels and with souls. And one thing that happened there was that just this beautiful angel just stood right in front of me and put its arms out and said, Lorna, why did you come? You weren't to come, you know. And I felt humanly inside of me, I did feel upset in that way. I said, but I love my baby, you know. And the angel said to me, look back. And the thing is, when you look back, whatever God allows to happen, you see those you love on earth so clearly. I could see Joe and my other children, and it was like as if it was, how would I say, a million miles away, but yet magnified, that I could see them so clearly. And I could see Joe shaking me and saying, don't die, you know, come back. And but I was gone. I was in heaven. I was in heaven with my baby. And I just said to the angel, but I don't want to go back, because again, you feel that power of that love, that overwhelming love of God. I just find it so hard to describe that. And
oh, you described it beautifully. I'm just wondering, do you have to die to go to heaven to have that experience? Can people travel back and forth in their mind or consciousness without having their body die?
All as I can say to you is that at other times God has taken my soul, but he puts my body into a state that even when I come back to it, it actually takes time to recover. So I do believe a person has to die to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Or have their body kind of shut down in a way.
But the only one that can do that is God. Can do, you know. So I believe you actually have to die, because the soul has to actually leave the body. And it is the soul that makes us what we are today. You know, it's that's what makes us human. That's what, you know,
gives us
we
life.
Have that free will. Yeah, that those choices.
Right. But do you believe in astral travel, where people have traveled to other places and with a kind of different level of body, while their body was still breathing, they could free their consciousness and visit other places or other people? Has that happened to you?
Well, no, that hasn't happened to me in the way you're describing there. I know, well, scientists and stuff like that would often say, yes, maybe it could in that way. But again, it is where God had shown me, where I was allowed to see some of the futures of the world. So I was even allowed to see, you know, beyond our planet as well.
Beyond our planet to what? What did you see beyond our planet?
I saw other planets, other life that that God had made. You know,
what does it look like on those other planets?
It looked actually quite strange. Kind of, I suppose, strange and yet beautiful, you know, within itself, and even the life was completely different. It's like as if God has only made human life here.
But those beings had souls, those same souls we have, right?
God didn't show me that. He showed me, you know, some of the life that I was shown. I would be very wary of it. I definitely wouldn't want to come here, if you know what I mean, that way.
But did love there as well? Or we don't have to talk about that if there didn't. But,
No, sure. I was only shown, in a sense, like a glimpse. So
I see.
You would only be speculating.
Yeah. Well, maybe they... Who knows? But let's get back to Earth, in a sense.
Yes, Earth is very important.
Well, tell me why. Tell me why it's so important. Tell me why... What do you think your message is? I mean, of course, you're a communicator to these higher realms. What do you feel your message is, and why is the Earth so important?
The Earth is very important. Our planet itself is very important, and because it's very important to us. You know, and we are very important, each and every one of us. You know, it is all because we all have a soul, and we all have that guardian angel, even if we're in dispute about it. So we all have that spiritual side. It's just like, you know, many times I was, even today, you know, when I was out collecting my daughter, I would see a particular angel, and I would call them the American Gathering Angels. And even today, after how long, you know, people are still being brought to America, you know, to become part of that, as what I call it, the new race.
Right.
You know, in that way, and just seeing those angels, you know, it's not as if they're here in abundance. I don't see them in abundance, but it's...
In Ireland, you're saying?
In Ireland, and I have seen them in other parts of the world, but they are American Gathering Angels. They're angels that bring people from all different parts of the world to emigrate to America. Like, how did you get to America? You were chosen to be there.
I really like it here. It's a great place. But my grandparents came, and... You know, my parents were born here, so they did come for a reason, because there seems to be a melting pot, a place of hope and new possibilities that are happening in America, because it's not stuck to a tradition, a particular tradition. There's many traditions, but not one tradition. So I think...
Tradition,
It's not stuck in a tradition. Don't you find that true?
Well, that is many. You can say that, you know, the angels have gathered people from all over the world, all traditions, and you have become the new race. You know, you all have become Americans. You know,
right.
You are all brothers and sisters. You all have brought the different types or different beliefs in spirituality, in faith in God, you know, and... I know you are all, Americans are meant to become one.
Yeah.
You know, because and all of the time, you are getting closer to that.
To becoming one. So you're saying America will lead the world in that way?
Yes, because America is the gateway to man's future. You know, it's the gateway to man's evolution. It's like from there, an awful lot of things will start. And I guess that's why God keeps sending me back to America to give the messages. And I know you said, what messages? But there is so many of them. I never realized there was so many. You know, when I write a book and put in it what I'm told to put in it, I never realize that when somebody reads it, they get a message for themselves to help them to grow spiritual, to help their faith and belief in God. And even with those who would say they don't believe in anything or they're skeptic, I have to smile. It makes them question. And that's the beginning. You're not just flesh and blood. You're a spiritual being as well. And I suppose that's the side we're in denial of, the spiritual side.
Well, I think you're right. In America, there seems to be a new spirituality emerging that goes beyond religion. And, you know, I know you've prayed with many different religious groups,
yeah,
many different faiths, and of course, it's all one. So I think America, that we have a more of a free will to transcend an old dogma and create a new spirituality. That's what I see. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, and that's what you're doing. You're opening the gate and helping people to see things a little differently, you know, giving them that free will, that choice, you know, helping them to question.
Exactly.
And that's very important. It's like, you know, the first time I went to America, I was just overwhelmed, stunned, if you like, because I didn't realize or fully understand all of what I was seeing. You know, it just seemed to be so vibrant. And it's only that every time I go back, it just seems to get stronger. But the important thing to remember for Americans is that, you know, it doesn't matter what culture you came from before. It is that you're part of the new race now, and you're all Americans. You're all one. And that vibrance is coming from you all. And that vibrance is giving, you know, more hope and understanding, helping you to see more clearly. And you must remember, you know, I know a lot of the time Americans don't look outside America. You're inclined to just look in. And I know at times you will have to look outside and maybe you don't realize that, you know, the rest of the world is always looking in.
Mm-hmm. To America.
You know, in that, yeah, we're always looking in, and in the sense, in the hope that you've come up with the right solution, even though the rest of the world all helps with that. But it's like America, you know, the president, whichever president it is, you know, that pillar of strength.
Right. Do you know the word America? How do you spell it? It also spells out I am race, the I am race.
I-A-M-R-A-C-E,
race.
No, you have to remember I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't even spell it for you.
Well, if you did spell it, you could rearrange those letters and it would spell I am race, meaning the I am race, meaning the universal race of all beings. I mean, but, you know, have you met the other people who are going to be speaking with you in November? Have you met Anita Morjani? She's an amazing, beautiful person.
I'm actually going to be talking to Anita tomorrow night on the phone, because I didn't get it when she was over this way. I was somewhere else. But I did speak to, I met as well, and we had, you know, coffee, Eben, you know, for half an hour.
What was he like?
He is absolutely lovely. He's a lovely young man, and I asked his guardian angel, you know, that what happened, did it really happen? Because I would ask, and his guardian angel said, yes, he did die and go to heaven, and God sent him back again. You know, so I'm really looking forward to talking with him, you know, at the Open Center.
Well, the great thing about him is that he was a neurologist and didn't believe anything about spirituality or the soul or life after death. He was totally against that, and thought people who had those experiences were making them up. And then he had an experience, and he had a complete change of mind and said there's no way his brain could have been functional and conscious of the experience he had. So his consciousness must have existed outside his brain, which was totally against anything he ever believed. So he's now revising his beliefs, and his book Proof of Heaven talks all about that. So don't you think that's amazing?
I do. I think it's absolutely super brilliant, you know, and it's just wonderful that he had the courage, because I know it would take great courage, you know, for someone like him, you know, to stand up and say, you know, I had this experience, I know this happened, you know, because even for myself, you know, I do get ridiculed and all of that and skeptics. But when someone like himself stands up, you know, and says it did happen and you know, gives so many answers or, you know, from a different point of view, all of that is very important. And again, it's God and the angels showing us that, you know, you're not going to die, only your body is going to die and rot away in the ground. You actually live forever. And it's because of the spiritual part of you. That part doesn't die, which I think everyone calls the soul.
Right.
It actually lives forever. It has a life that doesn't die.
Yes, I'm just going to tell people, Lorna Byrne, who I'm talking to, will be in New York City at the Open Center with Eben Alexander, the author of Proof of Heaven, and Anita Morjani, author of Dying to Be Me, talking on November 23rd, 2013. If you want information, you can go to theopencenter.org, also to my website, newrealities.com. So, Lorna, why do you think, though, we come to Earth? Why do we incarnate into these physical bodies? What's the reason?
I could now give you a few reasons, but I'm actually being told to hesitate.
Okay, well,
I'm giving up.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, I suppose what the first thing you have to remember is you're a human being, mm-hmm. you know, and we should all be happy and glad that we are a human being and that we have a soul and that we have a life. We're here to live life, you know, and it's actually a very short space. It's like really 1 second, you know, but to us it seems really, really long. And for others, it seems maybe shorter. But the main thing is actually to live life and to experience it and to love. You know, and we're not very good at the loving part.
But you know, we are love. Sense. We are love, but we have forgotten that when we come into the body, right? We know we're love.
We don't forget it. I think, you know, we kind of think that material things are more important, you know, and material things are important, but no material thing can buy love. Mm. No material thing can buy the kindness, you know, or compassion, you know, all of those things that are priceless.
Right. Yeah.
And,
no, so-
it is like for us, you know, to become intertwined with our body and soul, for us eventually to get to that stage where our body and soul is intertwined, where the body doesn't have to die, where it becomes so perfect and you don't get sick, but we have to do the same with this beautiful planet that we have been given. And well, I don't think we're doing a very good job, you know, with nature. Myself, and I know everyone does try.
Well, we have to do a better job because obviously, you know, there's problems. We just had a huge storm in the Philippines. And tune into all those souls that...
Yes, definitely. And, you know, it is terrible that the storm was so bad, so powerful, so strong. But again, it was so powerful and strong because of what we have really done. That storm was only meant to be like less than quarter of what it was, but because of ourselves interfering wrongly with the beautiful planet that we have, this beautiful world that we've been given as a gift. And it belongs to us all. You know, it belongs to nature as well. And we're, what would you say, we're bleeding it, we're doing all kinds of things to it. And then we give out and say, why do bad things happen? Why did that storm happen?
But those were innocent people in the Philippines. Those were innocent.
They were, and that's what we have to remember. You and me and everybody can't just sit back and, you know, allow our governments to keep doing what they're doing. You know, I know we need jobs, I know we need material things, but we have to say at times, well, we can't keep polluting our rivers. I don't know what rivers are like in America, but we had here in Ireland an awful lot of rivers polluted, and we have worked very hard to stop pollution now and to get our rivers running free and full of life. But we still have to, what would you say, still be in battle to and still be very alert that, you know, what would you call them, a multinational or something like that, you know,
Yes. Doesn't
take a shortcut, or a farmer doesn't take a shortcut, or even a housewife doesn't take a shortcut and pour something down the drain.
Oh, yeah, we have to be very alert of multinational companies, because of the greed and money and profit, and when they are destroying a lot of the planet.
And you have to remember, you know, that's what causes our planet to twist and turn more than what is necessary. And I know they were all innocent people, you know, but yet we're all to blame and we're all answerable for, and that's why we have to reach out and help them now as much as we possibly can. And I know, I think nearly all the countries of the world are doing that, and people.
They are, and it is a way of pulling the planet together when these, you know, awful things happen. But you also said something before. I mean, yes, I know life is a gift and it is a precious, beautiful thing. And you said about entwining our souls with our bodies so we don't have to die. I mean, the Chinese talk about the immortalists. Are you saying that's possible from your perspective?
Yes, that is one thing God had shown me, that, and I know I had written a little of it in one of the books, where the body intertwines, you know, with the soul, and the body becomes perfect, you know, in every way, and it no longer gets sick.
How do we do that? What's the technique or ways of doing that, of perfecting that?
Well, I believe it is for us all, you know, to have more faith. We have to stop doing what we're doing. We have to allow our soul to come forward. We've got to hear more clearly. There's actually a list of things, but I know people are working towards it. And it is about becoming compassionate and loving and caring. You know, those simple things that you think aren't important, but without them, your soul won't come forward.
Maybe that's the next book you should write, The Entwining of Body and Soul. That would be a bestseller here.
Maybe. Well, the one that I have, that'll be going out in 2014 and 15, It has a little of that in it. Uh-huh. But maybe another time I will write about that separately.
Well, we could do another interview where we specifically focus on that, because I think that's a very valuable piece if people want to live more in harmony. And I've always felt we were here to perfect our union of body and soul into a oneness.
Well, I have a little, I don't know which paragraph, or I have it in a couple of the paragraphs in A Message of Hope as well, about that, because I know people sometimes find it too much if you give them too much. So the angels have been telling me, you know, you give a little at time to help it to soak in for people so that they can learn.
Mm. Well, is it something you feel you might achieve or want to do, this perfection of the body, this entwinement of soul and body?
Myself?
Yes, yourself.
Myself, I've actually never thought of it, and I suppose that is because, how can I put it? God has taken my soul too often from my human body. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how to explain that.
Right, I understand.
That has happened too often.
I see. So it's different for you, but there's other people... Because it is the Tibetans talk about the rainbow body, building the perfect body. And I think the Egyptians talk about that. The Toltecs talk about that.
Okay.
The Taoists. Yes.
You'd have to remember, you know, I don't read, so right. I wouldn't really know all of those who you're speaking of.
Well, I'm just saying many traditions talk about this in the literature. And, you know, actually, there's a part in your book I just opened to. It says your soul fills every single part of your body. There's no part of your body that's not illuminated by this light. It's hard to explain. Your soul is so tiny, yet so enormous. Your soul is a speck of God's light, and it's perfect and incredibly beautiful. But you're also saying the soul fills every piece of us, and when we become... I mean, I don't know if you're saying this, but when we are in touch with our soul and our soul's purpose, the body becomes illuminated. Would you say that?
Yeah, it is. It is when you allow, when you're able to do it, or even, it's actually like starting to become conscious of your soul, of saying to yourself, I'm not flesh and blood. I want my soul to move within me. And any time... You know, I could be at a restaurant, you know, I could be sitting on a bus or on a train, I could be anywhere, and sometimes it could be a child, you know, sitting, you know, maybe eating something or playing with a toy, and just out of the blue, and again, it's always in all innocence, because children have just come from heaven, the child's soul would come forward just that little bit. And yes, it does, that word you used, illuminate, yes. It does, because it shines through the body, and yet it has come forward, you know, yes. in that way. And sometimes, you know, I know in the message of hope there from the angels I have wrote about, you know, when someone is near their time to die, you know, and seeing the soul coming forward, seeing the angel or the guardian angel already holding on the soul, onto the soul, and actually bringing it forward in the human body. But the guardian angel has a hold of it. It's not that the human being has done it themselves, but that is incredible to see. But I know we can do it ourselves as well, and I know it will happen at some stage, because, you know, one of the futures I was shown was where that does happen, and another one was where, you know, a parent, you know, can see their child's guardian angel and speak to their child's guardian angel.
But one of the futures was that the planet, all of us humans, start to... merge this body and soul, that we do become illuminated as a civilization.
Yes, we become perfect. I call it, we make this earth, you know, like a little glimpse of heaven. That's the way I put it.
I know that's possible too. I see that. I see that possibility.
It's there. We have to, and again, that's why A Message of Hope talks about, you know, about that angel of hope, you know, that helps us to see that what we may think is impossible is possible, not to give up on hope, not to give up on faith, you know, that we must keep striving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to tell people, when you say angel, you really mean angel. You're not just speaking a symbol. You're actually seeing beings that are angelic.
Yes, I see the angels as physically. Now, if you and I were in the same room, I would see your guardian angel as physically as I would see you or any other angel that may be around you. And I'm being told there's plenty of angels around you at the moment.
Well, that's nice. Have you ever seen, thank you for that, but have you ever seen your own guardian angel?
That is one thing I'm actually not allowed to talk about,
okay,
is my own guardian angel. I'm afraid I have been forbidden to do that.
No, I understand. There's a lot of things, no, that people just aren't ready for, and that you're not, because I think it's like a time release sort of message you're giving people, and you don't want to, I think there's a time when that will, well, you will be able to speak about it, but I totally understand that, you know, some things are, that we're not ready, or people aren't ready to hear, so I get that.
I know one of the messages, you know, and I know it yourself, is, you know, and just hearing back from people of all religions, you know, and all beliefs, and they saying and asking, do they have a guardian angel? Every single human being has a guardian angel. I'm traveling all across the world now. I don't have many countries, and to me, the world is just one country. I have never seen a human being, man, woman, or child, without a guardian angel. Everyone has, and it doesn't matter even if you don't believe or not, because I'd have to smile. You have a guardian angel right there with you, because I see the guardian angel physically, and it is the gatekeeper of your soul. It's the gatekeeper of that spiritual part of you, you know, and this is the time of change for us all to try and recognize and acknowledge within ourselves that we are not just flesh and blood. You know, that we have a spiritual side, we have a soul, whatever you would like to call it, and that there is more to life, you know, yeah, than what we realize at the moment. And life is fantastic, and we're meant to cherish it and enjoy it, but we have a great opportunity to make this world, our planet, you know, like that little glimpse of heaven. We can have it all. But
well, yeah, it's very exciting.
It is exciting, and that is one thing that has given, you know, people back hope, and I mean from all ages. You know, I even hear from parents saying, you know, knowing, you know, that their children have a guardian angel and that they have a guardian angel, and that the most important job in the world is being a parent, because they hold the future in their hands, their child, they're molding their child. And it's so important to teach the child all of the right things, you know, and to remind them that they do have a guardian angel and that the child has a soul. All those things we're afraid to say.
Well, when you saw that glimpse of a possible future, how far off into the future, of course it's up to us to have a choice, but how many years will it take us to achieve that if we go in that direction? I hope we do, but how long will that be?
Well, I you have to remember, I have been shown many futures, right, and I always say those many futures are actually one. They come together. And I know it does depend on ourselves. I know it could be a long way off, but yet I know we have the choice. We could bring that very close, but it's up to us.
Yeah, I would just want to ask you sort of not quite a personal question, but I know you're Roman Catholic, and yet you talk about spirituality. And so how do we, in a sense, well, my belief is sort of overcome religion, or maybe we don't, some people don't need to, but there's a universal spirituality that transcends religion. So how do people make peace with that?
Mm-hmm. I think the way they make peace, spirituality is faith. It is religion. It is, religion is just a word. Spirituality is just a word. But faith is bigger than that. It is having the faith of knowing that you have a soul and that there is only one God. I'm a Roman Catholic, and it doesn't matter to me whether I'm praying with Muslims or Jews or Presbyterians, or I know there's a whole load of other names of all religions. We all need to come together,
yes,
all of us, and pray together, you know, and lose all our fears and anxieties of each other, and allow, I know the world is using the word spirituality, but again, it's only a word. Just like religion is only a word, we're actually talking about the soul, we're actually talking about God. And that they're the two parts we're actually afraid to say. We'll say spirituality, or we'll say religion, because we can go around the two words we're afraid to say.
That's a great answer. Thank you. I really get that. So we have to transcend, of course, because prayer is our own, is a personal communication. It doesn't matter what we call it or what faith. Yes. Yes, yes. And the soul is universal. Everybody's soul is similar. And, you know,
everybody's soul is that speck of light of God, you know, and yet it fills, you read some of the book out there, it fills every part of you.
Yes. Do you believe in reincarnation, coming back? Or
I know that again is a word. You have this life, and this is your one life. Again, yes. It is, you know, we use that word, reincarnation. I do know that God has sent a soul back, you know, on occasions, but it is very rare. And why would you want to come back? You wouldn't. I can assure you would not.
But the same reason we came in the first place, you know, we came from there.
No, yes, you came from heaven, but you came because God sent you.
Well, why? To learn. What? To learn for a reason, right? We came to learn. And some people, some people feel we keep coming back until we learn it all.
Well, all honest, I can say to you, you will learn more about this in the fourth book I've written that's not published yet.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not allowed to talk all about, you know, because the publishers would be given out to me.
No. Again, we want people to read the book, for sure.
Well, again, there's lots in A Message of Hope. You know, as you go through the chapters, like I find with everyone right across the world, and regardless of religion and everything like that, or beliefs or faith, people seem to read the books over and over again, and it's like as if, you know, each time they read them or go back to them, they find they say, how did I miss that message? How did I miss not understanding this? You know, they see something within each of the books again, new for them to learn within their life. And to me, that is an incredible thing as well. But that's not my doing. You have to remember that's God's doing, and that's, you know, the spiritual part or spirituality. That's God that's doing that, helping us to get there.
Well, it's true. Your books are very deep. I mean, Angels in My Hair, your first book, is a beautiful story of your life and what you've been through and what's been given to you. And then you have Stairways to Heaven, which I haven't read, but then I also just got A Message of Hope, Angels, which is a beautiful book. It's a number one international bestseller. I know people love you in Europe and in England, and they're just starting to know you here. And that this latest book is a book by Atria, paperback, and it's in every bookstore. Just ask for Lorna Byrne, BYRNE. I know there's so much to talk about, Lorna, and is there any final messages you would like to leave people with, just until we see you on November 23rd?
I think the final message might be, you know, regardless of what your beliefs are or your religion or anything like that, just put, you know, that skepticism, and I even find it hard to say the word, behind you, and, you know, say to yourself, what have you got to lose? You have to remember you have nothing to lose by learning more, you know, by realizing you have a guardian angel and you have a soul, and you are precious and you are loved, and that your guardian angel is the gatekeeper of your soul, and what you might think is impossible is possible, you know, to keep on seeing that light burning in front of you.
Well, yeah, well, I just have one more question because you just sparked one. Is there any way that people who are not sure if they have a soul, I mean, I know that I do, but there's a lot of people listening maybe who aren't sure. Of course, how could they exist if they didn't have one? But what's a proof of the soul that you can give people so they can check in with themselves? Is there anything?
There's no proof I can give you. All I can say to you is that everyone has a soul, because I see the guardian angel with everyone. So if you hadn't got a guardian angel with you, if there's no guardian angel there, then you would not have a soul. Every human being has a soul. So
isn't there a way we can dialogue with our soul? Doesn't our soul speak to us?
What you do is you just ask your soul to come forward within yourself, so that you can hear more clearly the guidance that you're being given from your guardian angel. It's that connection between your guardian angel and your soul and yourself. It's that spiritual part of you. It's that part of you that when you have done something wrong, no matter how tiny it is, you get that guilty feeling. And I'm afraid adults are very good at pushing that guilty feeling back and doing their best and ignoring it. So just think about it. I think that's what people have to do is think about it. Well, and so, I know they will discover themselves that they have a soul.
Wait, so you're saying it's not the guilty feeling, it's your soul saying, hey, there was another way to do that. So it's like the guilt, it's not to feel guilty about what we've done, but it's to listen to the inner voice and saying, you know, we didn't have
to
do with
it,
that.
It, yes, and that would be your soul, your guardian angel, giving you that guilty feeling, you know, that what you did was wrong, or you should have been a little kinder, or, you know, in whatever way.
You also told me once, sometimes your soul or your guardian angel gives you little tests. Okay, they might say, walk down the street on this side or this. And by listening to this, we develop a more of a relationship with that voice.
That is right. We get then, you know, really good at listening. You know, a lot of adults will say, you know, what's in it for me? Why should I bother, you know, go left? I want to go straight on. They're just teaching you. And we need to be taught. We have to remember we're like children. If it was a child would run left, wouldn't even ask, why am I not to go down that street?
Right. They just get, they're more in touch with that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're learning to do, is listening to more to our soul, and not, doesn't have to make sense logically. Maybe we'll meet someone on that street that we would not have met.
Yeah, you could, and you may meet nobody. But it is that you responded, you turned left and you didn't question, so that later on, as you get better at doing it, you know, when something does come up that's important for you, whether it's to meet somebody or to say hello or whatever, or a job or something within your work, or something to do with your children or your parents, you actually just do it automatically, you know, like a child would. And you say, wow, I did that myself. You know, you believe you did it all yourself. And when you get to that stage, that's a huge step that you have taken in faith.
That's great. You know, one more question I just wanted. Do you have a little, can I just ask you one more? Are you okay on time? Morning. Hello? Morning.
Hello?
Yeah, oh, did I lose you? You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I just want to ask you, are you still learning more things? Are things still surprising you?
Oh, yes, I'm still learning.
Like, what have you learned recently that has surprised you?
I'm still learning things all of the time. How could I say it? The angels are showing me more even of this planet and of people. They're showing me more of the soul of a person. You know, they're even showing me sometimes of the way the energy of plants and animals intertwine. They're showing me many, many things all of the time and giving me more and more understanding of why, how would you say, it's hard to explain this. No, I can't explain it, so I'll have to leave it.
That's okay. I know you're also a visionary. You're intuitive just with people. You can tune into their bodies and relationships. I know you don't talk about that much either, but I know you can do that as well. And we'll talk about that another time too. I look forward to seeing you at the Open Center on November 23rd.
Same here.
And good luck with this latest book, not for you, but because it's important that people read it and that there is a message of hope for the planet.
There's plenty of messages of hope.
And I think we're coming into a very exciting, I mean, I know there's these natural disasters, but overall, I think it's a very exciting time for the planet.
Well, I think it is as well. It's a time of change for us all. So we are all being made answerable, you know, throughout the world, and in a sense, we're all being held. It's the same thing, you know, responsible, and we have to stand up and be counted.
Right, and I think we can possibly avoid more natural disasters by taking care of the earth, like you said. It's our job.
Yeah, we could avoid quite a lot more, definitely.
So I think that's our mission for as hope. That the hope is to do that, work together as a planet. Well, thank you for your time, Lorna.
You're welcome, and I will see you when I'm in New York.
Yes, maybe we'll have lunch or something, okay?
I don't know if I'll have time for lunch, but we'll see you.
Okay. And say hello to Jean, of course. I'll see her
as indeed.
Well.
I will indeed. And God bless, okay?
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Lorna.
God bless. Bye-bye.
I'm talking to Lorna Burns, author of a recent book, A Message of Hope from the Angels. I really recommend her books. Her first book, Angels in My Hair, is a very interesting, exciting book about a real modern-day mystic. We were just talking to her in Ireland. And again, she'll be at the Open Center November 23rd with Anita Morjani, who I've interviewed on this program, and Eben Alexander, who I've yet to interview, but hope to. And you can go to opencenter.org for tickets. You can go to my website, newrealities.com. I have a listing there on how to get tickets as well. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm Alan Steinfeld. And if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, you can email me at newrealities.com. Okay. Good night.